This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Let's talk some baseball with Carl Ravage. Does great work for ESPN. You hear him often on the Waddle and Sylvie show. The White Sox, the focus, with them firing Ricky Renteria just about 30-some hours ago. And the A.J. Hinch talk getting louder and louder and louder. By the way, there's another A.J. who does want to manage the White Sox. We'll play A.J. Pruszynski in a little bit. But let's bring in Carl Ravage right now, who joins us live on the Corona Hotline. Ravi, how you feeling today?
I'm doing quite well. How are you feeling, more importantly?
Really good. I got good news a couple weeks ago in full remission. So
fabulous. Great to hear that. That is fabulous. Good.
And people like you, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the support, Ravi.
No, you're a good man, and we always want good people and even not good people to feel better and be healthy, because the not good we can fix. The good we always want, because the world needs better people.
Thank you. Amen. I appreciate that. So, you know, I thought you'd have a good, interesting take on A.J. Hinch. The phone lines were flooded yesterday with White Sox fans, whether they would want him or not, whether him being involved in the scandal, even though he was pretty accountable compared to a lot of people who were also involved. How do you feel about A.J. Hinch as a manager?
Well, I feel like he screwed up. I feel like Alex screwed up. I feel like that they won't allow that to happen again. I think my understanding of the situation there was, in a lot of ways, your leader was allowed to be railroaded to some extent by the players. And it kind of got away from him. He was aware of what was going on and yet felt like he wasn't in a position to do anything about it because of the people that were involved and the dynamics that were involved there. Again, that's an excuse. And if you are a leader and you dictate, you know, the culture of a clubhouse, and you are convinced something is amiss or wrong, you have to stop it. And I think he wasn't either comfortable in doing so, didn't feel like he had the ability to do so. Whatever it was, he let that behavior go on when he knew deep down inside it was wrong. And that's a problem. And the dynamic of any one of those guys, Beltran, Cora, Hinch, walking into a clubhouse, and look, the White Sox have Dallas Keuchel, so there's some sort of introduction to the Astros culture when they were doing that within that clubhouse. But those three guys, it's going to be an interesting dynamic. I put it to Sherry last night. You know, you're the player. This guy's walking into your clubhouse. He has cheated against you, likely at some point in your career. And now you're looking up to him, or you're looking at him to lead you. I assume with the trust that stuff's not going to go on again, and that he's been vetted properly and assured that things like that won't. But that is a part of that. And whatever that conversation is, that obviously needs to happen as soon as that person, if it's one of those, you know, two guys, Cora and Hinch, and in particular Hinch right now, it seems like that ball is sort of in his court. As soon as they get there, that's a conversation and a come to Jesus meeting and good and welfare, whatever that is that you want to call it, that has to happen.
Ravi, you know, we respect your baseball opinion as much as anybody's. As a baseball fan, would you be okay with A.J. Hinch or Cora becoming the manager of your favorite team and being given a second chance?
Well, I think personally I would. I probably am more inclined to give someone another chance with the idea that we as a sport have turned things now up when it comes to violations. The punishments for PEDs got more significant. I think the punishments for technology and cheating have become more significant. These were guys that, you know, all were fired. That you can certainly, moving forward, have in place rules that suggest, especially in these guys' cases, anything that suggests there's some tampering, cheating going on, you should be banned for life. Now, in hindsight, it feels very easy to say, well, they screwed up once, give them another chance, and if they screw up again, you ban them for life. But I can't think of a more significant punishment, and I can't think of guys who would be willing to accept it more than those two. I happen to personally like both of them as people. It doesn't, you know, and I think we all have relationships in our life where you like people, including sometimes your own children, and you just don't agree with what they do. You know what they did was wrong. You punish, and then you try to forgive. You never forget. And I think that's how I would treat both Cora and Hinch. And I think that given our culture of second chances, that they should both be afforded a second chance. And sometimes I think we blur the lines of, well, they didn't get punished enough, or the player didn't get punished enough, so we're going to hold it against the player for the rest of their lives. Right. I don't know how long that leash is. That's a very personal thing. But if you're asking me, which you did, I would allow both of them back into the game.
Carl Ravitch joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. I said on yesterday's show, Ravi, as a Cubs fan, that I think A.J. Hinch, if you take away the cheating scandal, is the White Sox version of Joe Maddon. That because of a weird circumstance, like Joe became free because of the clause in his contract that if Andrew Friedman left the team. And obviously this is for a much different reason. But A.J. Hinch never would have been free and in this position if not for that. Do you believe he's that good of a manager, like I do, for the White Sox, away from the cheating part of it?
Sylvie, look, this is the Joe Maddon thing all over again. That's absolutely what this is. Joe Maddon was working when the Cubs figured out a clause in the contract which allowed him to be free. A.J. Hinch and Alex Cora aren't working because they both were found to have cheated and were subsequently fired by their organizations. The Red Sox very reluctantly let Alex Cora go. The Astros were left with no choice but to let A.J. Hinch go. This was something that we had discussed amongst the people that I discussed baseball with very, very early in the A.J. Hinch-Alex Cora dismissal. This was something we discussed through the course of this regular season when the White Sox were playing well. There were some in the White Sox organization who suggested, when asked about the White Sox and their success, or perhaps their lack of success, given the talent that they had, is that, well, you can look at Chicago, the White Sox, and think there's a lot of talent, and in fact, they've underachieved because they are, to some extent, mismanaged. Again, one or two people's opinion, but there was, at least in my opinion, this was an absolute likelihood, let alone possibility, that for some reason, Renteria finds himself in the exact same situation. Did a good job, got his team to the playoffs, and there were, for lack of a better term, like children do, well, I'm going to take the better option. And there are apparently, in the minds of most in baseball, better options, guys who've won championships, and Renteria is victimized again. So this was likely to me that we were going to get to this point. I was a little surprised that the White Sox did it at the time they did it, and as quickly as they did it, but maybe there are other things at work where they said, we got to get rid of our guy so that we can open the door for Hinch Cora at the end of the World Series to invite him in and try to get this thing done.
Ravi, we look at this White Sox team and we think, you know, they've got cash. They've got a great everyday lineup, or the potential to be a great everyday lineup. They could use a good starting pitcher, like another number one, or a guy like Trevor Bauer. I think you touched on this a little bit. Are they going to have trouble? If, in fact, if you play it out hypothetically that A.J. Hinch is the next guy, does a guy like Trevor Bauer not consider the White Sox, in your opinion, because of the stigma that may be attached to A.J. Hinch? Will you lose out on some free agents, or will they just go where the money is, in your opinion?
Well, I think if you look at the Astros and you look at the players that are currently there and those that are coming up on free agency, and I'll get to Bauer in a minute, but I do think that both of those guys within the clubhouse had really good relationships with the players. And I think of a particular outfielder who's going to be a free agent who I have a sense would likely follow one or the other to wherever they go. So if Cora ends up back in Boston, you may see George Springer playing for the Red Sox. If Hinge ends up in Chicago, you may see George Springer end up on the White Sox. So wow. I think their relationship with the players there, especially many of the significant ones, like Alex Bregman, you know, I know Cora and Bregman had sort of a father-son relationship. They just got along very, very well. There's a great deal of respect from the player to the manager slash bench coach. I think a lot of times the players did run a lot of that stuff or bought into it, and it got away, and it never should have, but it got away. So I think the players and those two guys have decent enough relationships. On the Bauer side of things, it's hard for me to look at Trevor Bauer and think he's going to look at a situation like that and say, I'm above going there. I ain't going to go play for either one of those guys because of what they did.
Right.
To me, he's talented enough, and he's going to prove, regardless of who's in that spot, I'm the guy that you need to make the difference. And look, you follow him on Twitter. All he's doing is sort of, trolling every team in baseball. Right, hey, Chicago, yeah. You could use a starter. Heard San Diego. Wow, isn't it shocking the Dodgers might need some pitching depth given the Kershaw back injury? So I don't think there's very – I don't think there's much at all that's going to stop Bauer from going to a team at all.
Ravi, is there anybody else in mind managerial-wise? Like when Rick Renner, when Rick Hahn said – they want an experienced manager from a championship team. To me, it limited the pool to those two guys. Is there someone else that you think would make a good candidate for the White Sox?
It depends. I don't know. So it depends how you define recent. You know, if recent means you ask Ned Yost if he wants to come out of retirement, well, he would be one of those guys. Or Bruce Bochy, he'd be another guy. But again, that all depends on recent. And I think most of us consider recent to be the last couple of years. But what was it, 2014 that the Giants won? And Bochy's certainly got a World Series legacy and has had success. But clearly the two guys who I think he was referring to were either Hinch or Cora or somebody associated with them. Maybe a Hensley Mullins or somebody that was involved with their organizations while they were winning championships. But I think to me it's clear it's one of those two. But you could certainly add – I would think Bruce Bochy would be on any list to, at the very least, communicate with and see if there's interest.
Go ahead, Sully.
I was going to change the subject, Waddle.
To the Cubs.
Yeah, so we had a huge debate. We think alike after all these years of doing the show. We had a huge debate on this show, Ravi, with Theo, you know, being on his last year. And he could walk out the door in days. It could be in 1 year from now. But our debate was, looking at Theo's run from 11 when he signed till now, what grade do you give him? Now, you could zoom out and you could say they achieved everything they wanted to. They're a year-in and year-out contender. Or you can zoom in and say they may have left a lot on the table. How would you grade Theo Epstein's run here?
Yeah, I would grade him between an A and a B. I mean, it could be an A-minus. It could be, and I mean a B-plus. I mean, I think what he did was, A, you won the World Series, which is the most significant thing. You've certainly been a part of the thinking and the assisting in helping the stability of the franchise financially, regardless of what the owner says. You've turned the culture around. You've changed it. When I grew up in Massachusetts in the suburbs of Boston, the Red Sox were a PR disaster, and they became champions, and they became an organization thanks to Theo and his buddy Sam Kennedy and the ownership that you gravitated to. They did things around the ballpark. They've done literally the exact same thing on the north side of Chicago. They've made them formidable in the division. Winning a World Series is hard as hell. It is really, really hard. They were at least in the playoffs and had a chance. And all I want as a fan every year is to have a chance. You know how sort of upset and angry, and this idea that the Yankees haven't won a World Series since 2009, they haven't been in one since the early 2000s, that Brian Cashman has somehow failed, that this is – I mean, I'm giving Brian Cashman an A all day long for how he has kept that team relevant and kept them in championship – sort of position. Well, Theo's done the same thing. I think you could certainly look at some of the player movements that they've made, but you can do that with every general manager in the world. It seems like Andrew Friedman deserves an A. They haven't won anything, you know, in a long, long time, but they're in that conversation. And the Cubs have positioned themselves now with the ability to move some pieces to stay in that conversation. I do think they're long in the tooth. I think you do need a change. I think they gave Ross that opportunity with this group, and he got them to the playoffs, and they were really good. You know, and Hendricks gives up the homer, and lo and behold, they're done, and that's it. It's a weird screwed-up year. I wouldn't necessarily judge anybody on this particular year, but I give him an A to an A-minus all day long for what he's been able to accomplish and how that team is set financially as well as with the players on there that you can use to move, or you can try again. They're really good.
Ravi, great stuff. We always appreciate your time. All the best.
Thanks, Carl.
All right, guys. Thanks very much. Stay well. You know, we'll talk soon.
You got it. Carl Ravitch, we love talking to him. He's awesome with ESPN. If you want to weigh in on the White Sox job, and the AJ, everything's pointing towards AJ Hinch, 312-332-3776. The other AJ wants the job and also says the 05 White Sox were the best drinking team ever.
All right.
You'll hear that next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
A lot of good tweets on the Two and a Half Men conversation.
Oh, really?
As well.
What'd they say?
I'm going to read them to you, and I know Peter and Lombard wants to get after Black and Abdallah. 312-332-3776. We'll play the AJ, parts of the AJ interview. This is AJ Pierzynski. He wants the Sox job, and he really talks up the way the White Sox used to drink. On and off the field, really.
Nice. Play hard, party hard.
Yeah. Peter and Lombard, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Peter?
What's going on, guys?
They're going to yell at you, and they're going to try to shout you down, but go ahead, Peter.
That's no different than a woman, Waddle, so I'm not going to even worry about it. You know what? That show actually reminds me of U2. I can see, like, the younger version of U2, if you guys were brothers, Sylvie being Ellen. You being...
Really? Come on, Peter.
Yeah, because
really?
Let me just tell you. Sylvie had a hard time with the women back in the day, growing up in high school.
Do.
Sylvie always
and
talked about that. Right. I don't know how that happened, but go ahead. Waddle, you was the man in high school.
Yeah.
But you remind me a lot of Charlie because Charlie is more of a functioning alcoholic. You know, he has his drinks and everything. That's you, Waddle, all day long, buddy.
Guilty, Peter.
That's a great show. It comes on every night. I watch it every night faithfully. I drive a cab for 15 to 16 hours a day. I make sure I get home at night to watch that show starting at 11:30 p.m. until 12:30. It comes on first 30 minutes, then the next 30 minutes. And that's my bedtime after that. I do not miss a show. I love that show. It's so many innuendos. And I can't believe the two young guys don't like this show. That just lets you know what this world is coming to.
It was like a dirty, like, I've only seen probably 15 or 20 episodes. It was on for like 12 years. So I've seen some of it.
I'm just going to say, Peter, don't let Black and Abdallah represent the world either.
I know. You know what? Please, we can't do that. No, there's no way. I know. That's scary to even think about, Sylvia. I'm sorry you even brought that up. That is really scary to even think about, especially Abdallah. You know,
Abdallah,
you guys have a good one. I love
Thank
you guys.
You.
Keep it going,
you.
Guys.
Listen, I took the first shot across the bat. No, Sylvie took a shot, then I took a shot, then you took a shot.
Come on, guys, sing it.
We all took shots. Like, I still don't know it. I mean, I have never watched
men.
It.
Just say men.
Yeah.
Men. That's all this. Men.
I think for probably a 5-year stretch, wasn't it the highest rated show on
Oh, they were making
television?
Like $1 million an episode,
I
right?
I just wondered whether or not you two cool guys were watching it. That's all it was. And you guys just kind of snickered at me like I'm some sort of loser, which I am. But I wasn't. It wasn't appreciated.
Kerry Freeman says, I love Two and a Half Men, and I'm 39 years old. Our buddy Andy says, Two and a Half Men stinks. I'd rather watch Mitch.
Ooh, wow. That's
Nathan, you're not going to like this. You're going to have to retweet Nathan Abdallah and say another satisfied customer. Me thinks your staff needs to be taken down a peg or 12.
Wow.
Andrew Myers.
I didn't think it was the oddest question of the day. I really didn't.
Oh, no, we have weirder questions.
That's my point.
I just didn't know we had bad comedy truthers out there standing for Two and a Half Men.
Shocking.
Just because a lot of people watch it doesn't mean it's good. A lot of people watch Friends, too. That show was garbage.
Oh, come on now.
Oh, now you lit Sylvie's candle.
No, I mean, I knew. It was like eating gummy bears again. I always use that analogy.
Like, I did.
It had a purpose.
I bet I watched 10 episodes of Friends, period. And
You didn't watch Seinfeld either. You didn't watch
I didn't watch a ton
shows.
Of Seinfeld. It was great. But, like, I knew how popular Friends was. So if you would have asked me, like, if you the tables were turned, you would have said, hey, wow, did you ever watch Friends? I would not have gone, ah!
No, see, but you're acting like we are unaware that this show was very popular. We're just saying that the people watching the show have no taste. That's what we're saying.
Andrew Meyer says, I'm 39 and watch Two and a Half Men. The Liberty duo is crazy not to. Stop the hate. Ha.
Well, Cat Burner. Solid.
Yeah, Cat Burners. Listen.
Here's another one then.
Just because we have taste in shows doesn't mean, you know.
Is there anything you guys do disagree? I guess you guys disagree on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
But he watches Below Deck and all that other crap on
E! By the way, I tried watching The Octopus.
Bravo,
said,
right?
Hold on. You watch The Octopus?
Going to sleep. Yeah, I watched the first 20 minutes. And then, you know what I was doing this afternoon before the show? I was selling
pretending
it to my
you
6-year-old.
Were the Octopus?
It's good, right?
Well, it's interesting. It's a little slow, but it's about a diver who then all goes diving in the same spot in the ocean in the Atlantic every day, and he gets to know this octopus.
They become
friends. And the octopus recognizes him then each and every day. And, like, at first the octopus was very scared of him, and as the days go by, they form this bond.
Sea Waddle?
See what?
They become friends.
Okay.
It was interesting. I mean, there were some cool shots.
You haven't gotten to the twist?
The twist.
You haven't gotten to the dramatic part of it?
No, not yet. I'm about 30 minutes in.
The octopus shoots ink at him, thinking he was a predator.
Not him.
I've been taking Plex television show recommendations. We're in on The Vow.
Yeah.
And that
was freaky.
Well, it could have been, too. The Vow is still going on.
Is it really?
Yeah.
How many episodes is it?
It was just 9. They just came out with 9. They could have wrapped that thing up in
3.
6 episodes easily. Maybe 3. Fine. But they're still going.
Yeah, by, like, episode 4, I started going to the Wikipedia page to find out what the ending is.
Yeah.
You know, like, I wanted to be like, all right, what happens to this dude?
Yeah. So, and then James says, I'm 32 years old. I didn't watch Two and a Half Men. I started catching a lot of reruns. My 3 favorite shows are Sopranos, Breaking Bad, and The Wire. But the first seven seasons of Two and a Half Men is hysterical. Great stuff. So that's from a guy who's got good taste in television shows.
They'll be the judge of that.
All right.
We will be.
Speaking of liking alcohol, AJ Pierzynski did say that the 05 White Sox.
He called me a functioning alcoholic.
Functioning alcoholic.
Peter!
Wait to hear some of the stories AJ shared with Cap and Jay Hood today. And AJ wants to manage the Sox. Plus, in 15 minutes at 4:45, we'll go through Would You Rather, tweet us using the hashtag WSWouldYouRather, and you'll get a chance to win that gift card to Grand and Western Liquors. It's all coming up in the next half hour.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Bob Nightingale's at it again, Waddle. He's the baseball writer on USA Today.
McKeon is in line for an interview with the White Sox.
He retweeted his opinion piece from yesterday. He tweeted that out again, but with a different tweet the way he phrased it. So there's nothing new in the column. But what is new is his tweet from 3 minutes ago. Carmen, I hope you're not driving because you may drive right off the road. Hall of Fame manager Tony La Russa is the White Sox number one candidate to manage their club. The big question is whether he's willing to come out of retirement. If La Russa decides to stay put, they likely turn to former Astros manager A.J. Hinch.
Why?
I don't know. I is this a rogue guy? Is this someone who does have the relationship with Kenny? And is this really what they're thinking?
He hasn't managed since when? 2011?
It's been 10 years. Because his next season would be the 2021 season. It would be 10 years.
How long did he manage
Carmen's
the White
saying,
Sox?
Like, is Jerry doing Tony La Russa a favor by, like, publicizing his name? Like, what does Tony La Russa need? Why are they putting this out there? If that indeed is what it is,
well,
they're showing
else,
him love.
Who else is going to consider him?
Who?
Tony La Russa.
Well, the article says that many teams have wanted him since he's retired and he's turned it down. But when contacted, he declined to comment on the White Sox job because this, according to his sources, intrigues him.
Many teams want him now?
He wrote in the article throughout the years, many teams have tried to talk him out of retirement.
Throughout the years, that could have been right after he retired.
Sure,
I could see teams reaching out, but now? That's crazy.
He's like, isn't he 77?
Yes.
76. 76. Yeah.
He just turned 76.
I mean, like, what? Why even put this out there? And if that's not the case of just putting it out there, what if he's right? What are the white? That can't be what Rick Hahn is thinking. That getting Tony La Russa, a guy who's 76 years old,
hasn't managed since 2011,
right? And had some issues strategically then. Where a whole generation of baseball has gone by, come and gone. And like they're trying to get away from the old school way with getting rid of Don Cooper. Why would they bring back this?
This. Him.
I'm so confused by this.
This is very surprising to me as well.
So again, I just hope it's some dude who...
Well, Bob Nightingale's not some dude.
Well, I know, but he, like I said before, he hasn't exactly had a great track record with breaking stories. Like, I'm going with Passan, then I'm going with Ken Rosenthal. Who else are you drafting in your baseball?
Buster. What about Buster Olney? I'll take a Buster Olney.
Yeah, Kirchin and a Buster. I'm going with Jesse even. Way, 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 way ahead of Bob Nightingale.
Now, this the La Russa thing came out after we talked to Chuck, right?
After we talked to Chuck? I believe
so,
yes.
Because I'm wondering Chuck's ears got to be to the ground. I mean, what is...
Chuck. Can you text Chuck or I'll do it in the break?
Send Chuck a text and say, is this a legitimate possibility?
You had a good question, too.
Yeah.
If they're saying no to Ozzie, why would they be saying yes to La Russa?
And what was the, like, again, I'm asking the question. What was the initial no? What's that based on? Is it because this is a younger team and they feel like Ozzie would be good with a veteran club but not a young team?
I think with Ozzie, you don't want to put out fires anymore, do you?
Well, like, I'm just asking why when they decided... No, we're not even going to talk to Ozzie. What was the number one reason why? Been there, done that?
Well, they've been there and done that with La Russa.
Right,
that's
why.
Unfortunately, let him go at the wrong time. And now, like, Jerry's always wanted to make that right that wrong. Like, you can't be thinking it's 76 when he's missed 10 years of baseball. From a manager's standpoint, that you want to bring him to manage your club and you're saying no to Ozzie.
Interesting. Weird.
Here's AJ Pierzynski on the station from earlier. Chris, can you play the one where he says that he definitely wants the job and he's very interested?
Yes. Cap asked him, has he ever gotten the itch to get back into the game and maybe manage? Here's his answer.
100%. Really?
100%. Now, look, am I happy and do I love what I do? Yes. I love everything that I do. I love my job on Fox. I absolutely love baseball. So, yes, I love Fox. It's been nothing but awesome to me. And I get to watch the games. I get to talk baseball. I get to be around the players still. I get to talk to these other managers to see what they're doing and how they're going about their business. But 100%. Am I intrigued by any managerial open? Absolutely.
Would you be interested in this one?
Absolutely.
So there you go. And then he, at the end, this one is number four, Chris. When asked about A.J. Hinch and his qualifications, listen to the way A.J. answered.
I mean, I have nothing but respect for A.J. Hinch. I've talked to him many, many times. I've done the Astros games. I've done a lot of Astros games over the year, and I respect the heck out of A.J. Hinch. And think that, yeah, I mean, wherever he ends up, he'll do great. Personally, I think you'd be the wrong A.J. Can I say that on the air?
Yeah, absolutely, okay. You can.
Look, he's obviously has the pedigree. I mean, he's won a World Series with the Astros. He's managed and failed the first time, and then he managed again. He's done great. If that's their choice, then that's their choice. He's a good guy, and I've always had nothing but respect for him. I've always enjoyed talking.
He wants the job.
Has he reached out? Did they ask him whether or not he's reached out to the White Sox or the White Sox have reached out to him?
I don't believe so, no. They did not ask that.
Everything about AJ, Ozzy, La Russa, it goes away from what they said yesterday.
Ventura.
It goes away from
they've
what
always done these
Han
types of moves.
Said yesterday. He said, not in-house, and he said recent championship experience.
That's not La Russa.
That's not AJ. That's not Ozzy. That's not anybody except for AJ Hinch and Cora. That's it.
Yes.
To be fair, I'm not all that against AJ Pierzynski, though, as being a candidate.
You know, it would make it intriguing with all these guys who have had no experience, like David Ross going from the booth. No experience. Same thing in New York with the Yankees. On another team, maybe, but like Black, don't you feel as a White Sox fan, you have built something too good to trust it with somebody who still you're not positive about with the temperament as a manager?
It's fair, but then you're also weighing the conversation we had yesterday about Hinch. Do you want to trust your organization with a guy who knew cheating was going on and didn't do anything about it? I feel like there's negatives to both sides. Listening to AJ today on Cap and Jay Hood, he sounds very passionate about wanting this gig.
He wants this gig.
He's a former White Sox. I don't know. I find it intriguing. I would like for him to get an interview. Maybe he's not the best candidate, but I think that should be an option on the table.
I know we're up against it, but if you could play. He told a story about the old 05 White Sox team and how they used to drink all the time, even during games.
Yeah, 100%, because I was taken out of that game. I was also drinking with them. So I had been double switched out of it. Listen, I mean, I don't know how much I've ever told people this, but nobody could outdrink that 2005 White Sox team. I mean, it was an all-time team as far as the alcohol consumption, and guys left that team and went to other organizations, and they were starting pitchers, and they were having a drink on the bench, and the other team was like, "What are you doing? You can't drink." I'm like, "Why not? The White Sox did it all the time." Like, I mean, that was just the way. I mean, there was no for Burley to do that. That wasn't like we had a bunch of guys that just wanted to win and play, and there was really, this was kind of before, like, the social media stuff kind of hit right after that. It was just a bunch of guys. I mean, look, there's a million stories I could tell you that aren't fit for air about guys, you know, doing whatever they were doing. That story is 100% true, because I remember when Jeff Blum hit the home run, I was sitting in the Benton clubhouse with Kenny Williams drinking a beer, and we were having the conversation. Like, obviously, we go up, win this game, go 3-0. You know, they're done because they threw Oswalt, and they were kind of out of pitching. So, and then Blum hits the home run, and Kenny and I were in the clubhouse having beers at the time. So, I mean, yeah, that's 100% true.
So, Joe Creedy and Bobby Jenks definitely having a cold one every now and again, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
well,
Jenks?
Bobby Jenks was an alcoholic, wasn't
okay,
he?
I'm sorry.
Wasn't he like. I think he had some issues. I don't know if he drank when he was with the
White Sox. But you know Creedy was walking in and out of that clubhouse with a cooler.
Well, and the story
Brandon
started
McCarthy
about
was on that team.
Well, and
no?
the Don't Stop Believing
no.
story
he
is
was
Creedy.
A rookie.
He was a rookie.
The Don't Stop Believing story is Creedy and Aaron Rowand out.
Right. It plays a man from Journey. That's how that started with the
John
Don't
Atkins. You think John Atkins is having a few? You don't remember John Atkins, do you?
Who's John Atkins?
I'm going through their roster from that year.
The player on the Sox.
Yeah, he was on the team.
I don't remember John Atkins, and I covered the 05
Dustin
team.
Hermanson.
Oh, yeah, Dustin, you know, he was having a couple.
He was one of their three closers.
Herm
Shingo
dog.
And Hermanson.
Mr. Zero.
Yeah.
Herm dog.
Mr. Shingo Takatsu.
Mr. Zero Blood Alcohol.
Yeah. Tadahito Iguchi at second base. Kinurko at first.
I bet you Iguchi could put them down.
Paulie's probably having a cold one every now and again.
He's a beer guy. But the story started because of Game 3 when they ended up needing Burley out of the pen. He thought he was fine, that he had just pitched. Cap introduced the story that Burley was actually having a beer before he had to go to the mound because he didn't think, because that game went 14 innings, they needed him.
Loosened him up a little.
So there you go, some A.J. Pruszynski. And I don't get the La Russa stuff. If you want to chat about that, 312-332-3776. Bob Nightingale is tweeting again that he says the number one target for the White Sox is La Russa, and Hinch is number two. Also, we'll get to Would You Rather. That's coming up next. The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by my guys at the Home Loan Expert. They can get you pre-approved and locked in on the very same day, and you can close in less than 30 days. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Hey, this is Coach Mike Ditka.
Greg Olson here.
This is Stacey Keith.
Hey, this is D. Rose.
What up? This is Ludacris.
Hello, this is Dick Enberg. Would you like to play a little? Would you rather? Oh, my.
Would you rather every Tuesday you tweet us using the hashtag WSWouldYouRather? It's brought to you by our friends at Grand and Western Liquors, located at the corner of
Grand and Western.
In the heart of Chicago, and they pass the savings along to you the way it's supposed to be. Whatever you need, whatever you want, they've got it at Grand and Western Liquors, of course.
Can I start off today's Would You Rather?
Yes.
Would you rather...
You're just not eligible for the gift card.
Right, that's true. Would you rather have as your team the Las Vegas Raiders or the Chicago Bears currently right now?
You know what
I'm thinking? It's not like, I don't want the tradition. Like, no, I'm talking about right now.
Right
which is
now,
the better team?
I'd rather have the Raiders because they have a better quarterback.
Raiders are 3-2, coming off a big win against the Chiefs in KC, I think.
It's all about the quarterback for me.
Yeah, I think that the Raiders are a better football team than the Chicago Bears.
They both have flaws.
Yes.
Like, and we got to talk about this in the 5 o'clock hour because every team's got flaws.
Yeah,
like
they're
ripping New Orleans for doing what they've been doing.
Yeah, they're not that impressive. Like, I think the best team I've seen in the NFC this year, complete team, is probably the Packers.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What's next, boys?
I love these ones because they're like who do you want to hang out with more? So Andy wants to know, would you rather watch an 11-hour marathon of 2.5 Men with Joe Madden or a marathon of Breaking Bad with Jim Boylan?
No, I want to hang out with Joe Madden.
Yeah, I would rather hang out
for,
with
him. Yeah.
Yeah, but
no
I want
matter
to watch,
what we're watching.
I want to watch Breaking Bad.
But you could do that at any time.
No, I kind of want to hang out with Boylan. Like, you guys want to hang out with Joe, and he's going to, like, talk
yeah,
all this
we'll drink
weird
wine
stuff.
And
I want to get inside that mind of Jim
Boylan.
You
get tired of that quick.
I was just going to say, and after that first half hour, then what are you going to do?
Shut up and watch the show, Jim.
You could watch Breaking Bad anytime.
Yeah. I don't need to talk to Madden. What's he going to tell me? Oh, Peyton's
Joe
are cool.
Joe Madden's fascinating.
Oh, look, I got an RV. What's fascinating about Joe Madden? What
he's
is fascinating
got stories.
About
he's,
what?
He's managed World Series games. You
so
could ask
what?
Him all, why did you pitch Lackey in that relief
I heard that.
Why do you want to talk to Jim Boylan?
Because that dude's weird. I want to know. Why are you calling timeouts? What's with the sprints?
And again, after 20 minutes of that, you're done.
Then yeah. I'm watching Breaking Bad, though. That's what you don't understand. I'm not watching 2.5 Men. I'm watching one of the greatest shows of all time.
Nah, see, I think Jim Boylan would be a close sitter on the couch. You guys
probably
would be, you'd sit down on the couch
talker.
And he'd sit right
and
on that middle
yeah.
cushion right next to you.
Yeah. There, yeah.
You don't
no,
want
no, no,
that.
6 feet.
What he would do also is he would talk through the entire show.
Yeah.
Entire show.
He keep pausing. Wait a minute. Adam, we got to pause this
can
thing.
Can you believe, Adam, that they just did that? That Jesse guy?
We got to pause this.
Yeah, time out. Give me T.O. I'm out of him.
You'd have to clock in and clock out every episode. All right, what's next?
Here we go. Would you rather the only TV show or Netflix show that you could watch would be 2.5 Men reruns, or your phone ringer, which you can never silence in the morning for your alarm, is a recording of Cap saying, take that, over and over and over again.
How long does it have to go on? Like, it's just, it wakes me up in the morning?
Till the end of time.
No, it just wakes
me
up.
I want new TV. Give me Cap as an alarm clock.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't, no big deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I get
wait, hold on.
Coming?
You said it's no big deal to have Cap as your alarm clock? We can set that up for you.
Guys,
no,
he's looks- he's my alarm clock every morning at 7 a.m.
Is it the, do you still have a clock radio?
No, no. But I just, clock, I just wake right? up and turn it on.
Okay.
I just wake up and turn it on.
Because, yeah, Mike and Mike woke me up for many years.
What time are you getting up to walk
radio?
Your three-legged dog?
We get up around anywhere between 7 and 7.30, depending on how much work
she's
my
an
wife
early
has
riser.
To do. Oh, no. She gets up at 5.30 for breakfast, and then we just
whoa.
Have to go back to sleep. Yeah.
Oh, are you
she's
serious?
Still, she's time still out. Trained. Go ahead.
No, what, why is she dictating policy?
Because she comes in, but she's napping at your.
Wait, what was that noise?
What was that?
It's like no, you know, it's like a, you know, it's like dogs when they don't bark, when they just kind of like do the. So my wife for years since we've had the dog, has been getting up at 5:30 for school, but now that they're remote.
Now you're getting up.
No, she doesn't have to get up until like 7 or 7:30, depending on the day and what time the class starts. But the dog, for 9 years, has been trained for 5:30. So the dog just, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, I've heard.
Right.
So this dog is getting up at 5:30 regardless. So now we just we take turns. Whoever.
Yeah,
sometimes I pretend to still be asleep.
That's just a sneak peek into Adam's life.
And I know she does the same thing. She says she sleeps through it, but no, you're awake. You just don't want to get up.
We got to be back in 2 minutes. Yeah. Let's continue this. I want to have some NFL conversations about a game tonight, about televising games.
You don't
want to
watch
the week.
It, so don't watch it.
We haven't had this conversation yet. The relationship of the league and the Bears. We could read a couple more Would You Rathers as well. It's all coming up in 2 minutes.